Somebody give him some honor. Somebody give him some praise. Come on. Somebody say, stir it up. Say, stir it up. I got to stir the spirit in this place, because you're not ready to receive until your spirit has been stirred up. Can I get a witness, somebody? I feel great this morning. Amen. The devil's been after me all week. I'm the devil's most wanted. Can I get a witness, somebody? I've been on these hit lists, and I know some of y'all can relate what I'm talking about. Because when you start walking for the Lord, how many of y'all know the devil ain't going to rest until he gets you? Can I get a witness, somebody? See, because I'm ready for a breakthrough. Somebody ready for a breakthrough today? I've been waiting for a breakthrough, somebody. I'm waiting for God to move in my life like never before. Somebody here has been serving God for a long, long time. Somebody here has been just waiting on God patiently, been praying. You've been serving God. You've been sweating. You've been shedding tears. But how many of you know God knows your every tear? God knows your every pain. God sees everything that you go through. That's why I got joy this morning. I got hope this morning. Somebody got some hope this morning. That's why I feel good. You know, I came up on an old school church where we sing all those old songs. So I got to sing one for y'all this morning, because I'm just feeling great right now. Can I get a witness, somebody? Glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I lay my burden down, sing glory, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, since I lay my burden down, sing glory, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah, since I lay my burden down, sing glory, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, since I laid my burden down. Now I feel better, I feel better, so much better, so much better. Since I laid my burden down. I feel better, I feel better, so much better, so much better, since I lay my burden down. Oh, give him glory. Hey, somebody better lay some burdens down. Come on now. You got a burden this morning or this afternoon, you better lay them down. Carry his yoke. Can I get a witness? Well, without further ado, I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Amen. Ah, come on, somebody. How many of y'all know God ain't done with us yet? God is not done, because you still here. Can I get a witness? That's witness alone right there, that he is not done with you yet. Long as you still got a pulse, long as you still got breath, can I get a witness, somebody? As long as you can open your eyes and move your hands and walk with your feet, can I get a witness? Even if you can't even walk, as long as you can breathe, can I get a witness? God is not done with you yet. If you ain't got feet, then use your mouth. Can I get a witness, somebody? If you ain't got no hands, let me say, man, use something. Use your eyes, amen. Tell them about Jesus. I don't mean to get crazy on you. You know, man, we family, amen. And I know they videotaping, but that's just how we do at Chapel of Change. I just want to thank Pastor Brian and First Lady, Pastor Laura, for giving me the opportunity this morning to share the word, amen. We have a beautiful church, and we're three campuses, but one church, amen? And you guys don't see me here every day because I'm at the other campuses, amen? But it's a blessing to be back, and it's good to be here. Thank you, Pastor Nelson. Awesome job this morning, man. I don't know about y'all. If y'all didn't feel the Lord in that worship this morning, Y'all straight missing, amen. My brother Brian, thank you for that lovely testimony, my man. Hey, thank you. Quick shout out, Tina, thank you. That's between you and me, amen. Hallelujah. She hooked me up. Amen. My assignment this morning is to help us to continue develop a strong kingdom focus. Let me say that again. I'm on assignment this morning to help us to develop a strong kingdom focus. You know, how many of y'all been through the sermon series, I Heart My Kingdom Church, amen? A lot of us have been in small groups throughout the past few weeks. I'm here to let you know that although the sermon series is done, how many of you know there's still a lot more work to do? We still got a lot of work to do, amen? The Bible says, let's be doers of the word and not be hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So it's just one thing to take in the word, but it's another thing to apply all that you learn, amen? And we've been learning about bringing the kingdom of God down, amen? So I just want to encourage us, it's not over, amen? And realistically, we need to get our mindset and our perspective right so that we may live to execute the will of God for our lives. How many of you know that unless you are on path with God, that you are just living, but you're not really fulfilling your very purpose, the very will of God for your life here on earth? How many of you know everybody's got a purpose? And it's up to us to find out what that is. And the only way we can find that out is to keep focus on the Lord. Amen. I heard it said that success is not hocus pocus, but focus, focus. Amen. I said success is not hocus pocus, but focus, focus. It's not magic. It's not going to just drop in your lap. How many of you know that? But it's an individual that is focused on the voice and the Spirit of God. Somebody that is focused, really just tuned in, laser focused on what God is trying to show them and how to lead them. And it's important that if you don't focus in on how God is moving, you're going to miss out. And how many of you know we've come too far to miss out on our blessings? Some of y'all been serving God too long and kept on missing out on your blessing. And the reason that could possibly be is because we're not focused on what God is trying to show us or trying to tell us. Amen. I'm going to give you some thoughts here before I get into the meat of my message this morning. I want you to think about this. Your focus will determine your reality. If you're writing stuff down, go ahead and write that down. Your focus will determine your reality. Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your focus will determine your reality. We will become what we focus on. Does that make sense? Whatever you focus on, that's what you're going to become. And my question to you today is, what is your reality? What is your reality? Because if it's going to determine my reality, what is my reality currently, right now? Tell me your present reality, and I'll tell you what you've been focusing on. Can I get a witness? Amen? Tell me what your present reality is right now, and I'll tell you your focus. Young people, if you're sitting in here today, I want to tell you this. I can tell where your life is going to go just by the crowd that you hang out with. Show me the people that you run with, and I'm going to tell you how you're going to end up. If you run with a bunch of dummies, you get my drift. Amen. Because your reality will expose your focus. No one gets anything worthwhile in life by accident. Nothing just happens because you've been, out there lollygagging. Can I get a witness? Right? Nothing just happens. And nothing worthwhile happens in life by accident. It's what we put our focus on that determines what happens in our lives. I'm trying to hammer a point here. The next point I want to make is starve your distractions and feed your focus. I said, starve your distractions, but feed your focus. Because whatever you feed, however you feed your focus, that's going to determine your reality. Because how many of you know that the mind is the devil's playing field? I bet you some of us today were just kind of thinking one thing. Oh, I'm going to go into the house of the Lord. And all of a sudden, something just kind of runs right across your mind like, man, I wasn't even thinking about that. All of a sudden, you know what I mean? And here you are kind of like, you know, all focused on God, all focused on about coming to church and serving the Lord and just hearing the word and worshiping. But now all of a sudden that focus kind of distracts you and pulls your focus and your attention away. Amen. I don't understand how people can listen, Christians can listen to rap music, secular rap music on Sunday morning and think that they're going to get the presence of God coming into the fourth church wall, into the church doors. I don't understand how people could just listen to all that music, all that negativity and that spirit, and then you expect to come here in the church and expect the worship leader to kind of lead you into God's presence. You should have been already in God's presence before you even got here. You child of God. You child of God. Amen. You lead your own worship service. Can I get a witness? You lead your own self in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Your focus. Your focus this morning. Train your mind to see God or good in every situation. Philippians 4:8 says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You got to train your mind to think about godly things. Amen. You got to train your mind. What are you training your mind? What are you feeding your mind? That's why it's difficult to change. Some of y'all been trying to change. You come to a church, name that, Chapel of Change, amen? People are changing all around you. You're the only one that's still, I don't know. And thing is, what are you focusing on? Next thought, what consumes your mind controls your life. What consumes your mind controls your life. I'm just giving you some thoughts to kind of marinate on and take some stuff home. Amen. Something you can ponder on. We will fill our heads with whatever we fill our heads with will eventually run our lives. You change your mindset, you change your life. Some have caught the stinking thinking bug. Amen. Anybody caught that bug before? Guilty. You know, because the hardest prison to escape is your mind. Some of y'all have been doing time. Pastor B been doing like 16 years. Some of y'all been doing over 20. Hey, the worst ones is your mind. The worst ones to try to free yourself from is your own mind. Can I get a witness? That's the hardest prison sometimes for some. You might be free physically, but doesn't mean that you're free mentally. Come on now. You might have been free from prison doing 20 years, but doesn't mean you still not incarcerated physically. Amen. Lights on, nobody home. Can I get a witness? Something to think about. Somebody say, get your mind right. Title of my sermon this morning is hashtag Team Focus 2018. Amen. Some of y'all love to use the hashtag. I say, okay, let's use it. Amen. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel 3, verse 1 through 18. I'm going to read a story of the life of Samuel. If you found it, say amen. Before I go there, let's pray. Father in heaven, I come before you, Lord. I know that you're here already. You're just stirring us up this morning. And God, I just pray that as I continue to move forward, Lord, help me decrease and let you increase this morning or this afternoon, God. Father, speak to us like only you can. We thank you for your word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli,
whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, Here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, Here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went and he lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, you called me. My son Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And a third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, See, I am going to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family, from beginning to end, for I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, Samuel, my son. Samuel answered, Here I am. What was it he said to you? Eli asked, Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. This is a story of a young boy named Samuel. Samuel was, some Jewish historians believe that he was around about 12 years old at the time when this story took place. He was 12 years old. His mama, Hannah, actually was praying for a baby before Samuel was born, and she was barren. She was a barren woman. She didn't have children. So she prayed for a child, a son, and Samuel was the end result. And her oath to God was that I will dedicate his life to the Lord. So when Samuel was old enough to be given over to the priests at the temple or at the house of the Lord, his mama dedicated Samuel there. So now Samuel's growing up in the house of the Lord. He's kind of like he attends to the old prophet Eli. So he's there, and he kind of sleeps. The story takes place where he kind of lays down close to where the ark was. The ark, of course, is kind of symbolic to the presence of God. Amen? So it's kind of like this is the house of God, and I think the ark would probably be somewhere right here, right? So I'm pretty sure Samuel was probably sleeping off to the side in the front row somewhere, real close. And the story goes that the Lord calls his name out, Samuel. And Samuel responds, Here I am. And instead of, he didn't know that, he didn't really recognize the voice of the Lord. So he went to the prophet Eli thinking that was the old man calling him because he was pretty old at the time. So he goes over to the old man and he says, Here I am, you called me. And he says, No, I didn't call you. Three times that happened, and the old prophet sent him back, go back to sleep. Last time he got called by the Lord, he went, and Eli, the old man, recognized that the Lord was calling Samuel. Amen? He's calling Samuel. So he said, The next time you hear that voice, respond, Here I am. And then that's when the Lord began to give instructions, a revelation, a vision to young Samuel. Amen? Today, again, I want to kind of share about how we can develop our kingdom focus. Amen? How can we develop our kingdom focus? And number one is this. Somebody say number one. We can develop our kingdom focus by positioning ourselves close to God. By positioning ourselves close to God. Again, when they found Samuel sleeping, he was close to the ark. Close to the ark. How many of you know sometimes you have to physically, you have to position yourself where God is. Sometimes you just got to physically get up and position yourself to be close to the presence of God. Now, I get it. Some people say, well, I meditate by myself and I like to keep to myself. But how many of you know that there's a difference between your personal time with God and then when the people of God come together? Can I get a witness? Because there's something special that happens in the midst of God's people. And sometimes we got to, just like Samuel, he positioned himself close. So close that he was able to hear the voice of God. Sometimes I would feel the Lord nudging my spirit to pray. And I do kind of like what I always sometimes do. And I just kind of just lay there and pray. Like, okay, I'm going to just pray. But sometimes, how many of y'all know that ain't going to work sometimes because you fall right back asleep. Amen. You got to get up and physically position yourself to get in the presence of God. For me, that's my favorite chair in the living room. Can I get a witness? Where everybody's asleep, the house is quiet, and I get to sit there in the presence of the Lord. I tell my secrets to the Lord. I get intimate with the Lord. I don't just talk that talk. Lord, I'm messing up. Lord, you see me. You see me. Why you keep doing, why you keep me going through what I'm going through? And sometimes you got to reposition yourself. In order to hear from God, sometimes just doing the same thing. See, the old man kept sleeping at his usual position. If you read the story, Eli went and laid down at his usual position. And sometimes us doing the usual, can I get away to somebody? How many of y'all know you've been doing the usual in 2017, you've been doing it in 2016, 2015. You've been doing that for quite a long time, amen? My question to you this afternoon is, how is that working for you, amen? How is that working for you? Because you got to reposition yourself to hear from the Lord. James 4 verse 8 says this, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You want God to manifest himself in your life? You think all it is just showing up here? No, I'm not trying to scare nobody. All I'm trying to say is this. When you start making steps, when you start putting that left foot in the front of the right foot, in front of the left foot, God is going to do the same. It says, draw near to him and he's going to draw near to you. It's not like you just walking towards him and he's just standing in one position. He's going to meet you. He's going to meet you. Can I get a witness? I just want to encourage somebody here today. I don't know if this is for somebody, but if you're going through a dry spell this morning or this afternoon, you're going through a spiritual dry spell, I think this word is for you. I think God is trying to get your attention. I believe God is trying to get your attention. And we need to focus this morning. Number two is, how do we develop our kingdom focus? By having healthy serving habits. I was about to say spiritual habits, but serving habits. God kind of directed me. He said, no, it's serving. It's serving. Samuel served in the house of God without knowing God personally, but it led to his personal encounter. Some of you are serving right now, or some of you are thinking about serving. I'm here to let you know, you continue to serve. Continue to serve. It'll eventually, if you don't recognize or don't know how it is to listen to the voice of God, you will never do it. You will never find out just by just sitting around. It starts when you serve. And you can serve in the church, you can serve outside of the church, but it's that heart of serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. And in serving the Lord, Samuel began to develop his ear for God. Began to develop his spiritual ear to listen out for the voice of God, because he did not recognize it. He didn't know what it sounded like. That's why he went to Eli. If he had known it was God, I know he would have just sat there and he would have responded back to God. But he went to something that was familiar to him. How many of y'all know sometimes we react like that? We react to a lot of stuff that is familiar to us. Could God have been speaking to you all along and you responded by something that's familiar to you? And God is trying to get your attention. Can I get a witness, somebody? You will find it in serving. You know, the Bible said that later, you know what? He found his purpose. As he continued to grow, he became a prophet. He became a prophet. The word came to Samuel at a young and tender age, but it led him to his purpose. I'm here to encourage somebody here today. You want to find your purpose? Serve. Look to your neighbor. If you want to find your purpose, y'all, serve. Serve. Surrounding yourself with the things of God can lead you to intimacy with him. I said surrounding yourself with the things of God. See, Samuel was in the house of God, surrounded by the ark, by the man of God, by the prophet, by all those of that served, the Levites that were serving inside the house of God. He surrounded himself with the things of God. And my question to you this morning is, what are you surrounding yourself with? What are you surrounding yourself with right now that's hindering the voice of God or hindering the spirit of God or hindering you to get the mind of God? What's distracting you? But the thing is, you can't serve things. You be in the house of God and serve things. You don't come here to serve things. You come here to serve God. I said you don't come here to serve things. But you serve God. It's good to do work in the kingdom, but don't forget the king. It's good to bring the kingdom down, but if we neglect the king, then we've missed it all. Because with the king comes the kingdom. I said, with the king comes the kingdom. You get the king's heart, you get the kingdom. You get the king's heart, you get the kingdom, y'all. Don't get consumed by things. It's great. Do your job. Hey, do what you're called to do. But do it for the Lord. Don't do it for people. Serve people. Yeah, love people. But don't do it. Don't let that be your main reason. You serve because you serve unto the Lord. Because the Lord called you. You will find out you stress less. Can I get a witness? You go through drama less. Can I get a witness? Come on now. People hate you. That's all right, man. I ain't came here for you. I came here for the Lord. Man. Came here for the Lord. I got to hurry up, y'all. My last point is this. Now get out your hair. Amen. The way to develop our kingdom focus, and this is my last point, is being attentive to God. Being attentive to God. Samuel heard the voice of God for the first time. And it just blew him away, because I know after God began to instruct Samuel, I bet you he did not forget that voice again. Once he started to hear the voice of God for himself, I guarantee you throughout his whole entire life, when that voice spoke, he was all ears. Amen. He was all ears. And the thing is, unless you continue to consume yourself with the presence of God, you will never be able to develop your spiritual ears. You know, the cold thing about it is, the prophet was right there. Eli, the prophet of God, was right there. Here was 12-year-old Samuel. This is what the cold part about it was. The cold part about it was that Eli, the prophet, the man of God, the mouthpiece of God, was right there. laying right there. He was laying right there. But the word of the Lord, who did it come to? The 12-year-old little boy Samuel. I don't care how old you are. If you think you're too young, God will speak to you. I said, God will speak to you. You can be up in age too. Doesn't mean that you up in your spiritual age, amen. But God will speak to you. If he can speak to a donkey, he can speak to you. He can. I believe it with all my heart. That's why we can never, never, ever overlook any of the people that God brings here. Anybody that comes through those doors, we cannot look down on them. We cannot kind of ignore people. We've got to sit there and listen. Because you never know how God speaks through his people. And why will we be intimidated? Anyways, if we know the word of God. If you know your word and if you understand the spirit of God, you will never be intimidated by who comes in. Because you will know the spirit they have. Whether it's from God or not. Amen? Let me read this last verse to y'all. And it says, Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7, y'all. And I'm going to call up the worship team to come on up here. And as I finish off with this verse, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Somebody in here got to hear this. Young person, I don't know who you are, where you at. I'm just here to let you know. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Because there's going to come a time when you're going to try to cry out, it might be too late. I'm not trying to put fear in nobody's ear. I'm just trying to tell you the facts, the truth. Because I know too many people who have responded or who have not responded. And it was already too late for them because they passed on. You know, my wife and I have been, just last month, we've been traveling and just being hit by a lot of funerals and people who have passed, loved ones who have passed on. Two and three, actually, of those that have passed on were suicides. Youngsters, mid-20s. And I sat there and my wife and I were just talking. I said, what would make a young person feel so just feel like life is just not worth it. And that the only solution for them is to end it all. And by no means am I trying to point anybody else out. I apologize if that hits kind of close to home. But I'm just sharing my heart, my experience that I went through, my wife and I. And, it was heartbreaking because they were family members. And the way they went out was horrible, horrible. You never want to see a loved one go out like that. But I pondered and I thought, Lord, what would make them do that? So here we are with all the broken pieces, trying to put everything back together again, trying to figure it all out. But the reality of it all, it hurts too much. Because you think back and say, man, I miss him. If only, you know the thought process we go through. I should have. But the reality of it all, the enemy is playing tricks on these young people's minds. Stealing from their minds, stealing from them. Robbing them of their future, of their joy. Robbing them of their destiny. Amen. And this evening, I don't want to take too much of your time, but if you are here today, and this word has touched your heart, And if you haven't given your heart to Jesus Christ, I'm here to let you know, today is your day. Today is your day. So without further ado, I just want to open up, or let's do this. If you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you haven't given your heart truly, truly to the Lord, you know God, like Samuel, is calling you right now by name, by name, by name. Today, today's your day. If you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to stand up and say, Junior, it's me. That word was for me. I need to give my heart to Jesus. We're going to worship. We're going to worship the Lord. And I'm going to give this opportunity for anybody. If that's you, that's you right now, would you stand up and say, I need to give my heart to Jesus. Second, if anybody here has been kind of going through it with their walk with Jesus, and you need to get right with the Lord today, you say, man, I need to come back to Jesus. This time is for you as well. Come on. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.